My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, on to Noah Brown, the wide receiver cut by the Texans, signed by the Commanders, who at one point last season got an opportunity with a bunch of injuries and shined in a good offense with C.J. Stroud feeding him the football. He had a 2-game stretch last year where he was the best wide receiver in the league statistically. Went 6 for 153 and then 7 grabs for a buck 72 and a touchdown against the Bucs and Bengals respectively. The rest of the season, he was largely not much of a factor, but he has flashed. He has shown that. He is big, and that's the key, I think, to him coming to D.C., Danny.
Yep.
The size, right? He's going to provide something that is lacking in the receiver room. He could take the lid off the defense. And you and I both think he's going to play very quickly.
I do too. Now, how fast he fully gets up to speed and he's integrated into everything, I don't know the answer. I don't. I don't know how hard it is. I don't know if he's got a photographic memory and it's encyclopedic within 24 hours, or if it takes him like a normal human being a little while to learn the brand new language, where to line up and how, learn the quarterback that he's going to be playing with, scheme, design, what's asked of him each and every play. It's probably not fair to say, all right, on Sunday, you're going to get 10 targets. Let's see what happens. That's a tough ask for anybody. But I think this is their second best wide receiver. I don't know if that's inflammatory to people, but I don't think much of that room outside of Terry McLaurin. And I think opposite him, this is the perfect, you know, they're obviously, you know, more marquee players, bigger stars as number two receivers. But this is the kind, by design, of player I would try to have opposite McLaurin. I would have the big, deep threat. The guy that scares you to take the top off the defense to let Terry work where I would want him to work, which is that 20 yards and in. That's where I think he's really, really good. And as a technician, that's what I want. I want the deep threat. Look no further than a guy that averaged, 17-plus yards per catch last year? Please and thank you.
I don't think it should be controversial at all to say he's their second-best wide receiver. I mean, we're a long ways removed from him being a seventh-round pick. I don't think that's how he's necessarily viewed anymore. He broke out in Dallas. Remember, this isn't a one-trick pony.
Yeah, two different stops.
Or really a one-hit wonder, I guess is what I was looking for, where he just suddenly emerged for a couple of games with the Texans. He actually was better the year before, again, climbing a depth chart where he wasn't supposed to be a big deal in Dallas and making over 40 catches for over 550 yards. Then on a new team in a new offense that, to your point, he had to learn pretty quickly with Houston, he was able to emerge and have some huge games. If you look at PFF grading, not gospel, but just part of what I would say is an insight that I want added to every puzzle that we're going to put together here on the show, Terry McLaurin's grade last year as a player on offense was 75.1. Noah Brown's was 74.3. Terry McLaurin's receiving grade last year was 74.5, which is really, really good. Noah Brown's was 75, slightly higher graded. Now, they don't take sample size into account. I'm not suggesting he's a better player than Terry McLaurin. Deami Brown, if he played 11 plays last year and played them all very well and ran good routes and made a couple nice blocks, would grade out very high as well. My point is just to say, it doesn't really matter what metric you're looking at. He should grade out higher than a guy in Deami Brown who caught 12 balls last season, or Olamide Zaccheaus, who despite having an excellent camp and a terrific preseason, and I feel very good about what he's going to provide in the slot and around the line of scrimmage, Noah Brown's been more successful, more of a factor in the league the last couple of years than Olamide Zaccheaus. So I don't think you should get any heat for that take at all. That does not seem hot to me. That's not even warm. That's just a take.
Well, people who are so reverential towards, you know, front offices, and they decide that a guy before he's even played an NFL down, like a Luke McCaffrey, or, you know, because they've seen Byron Pringle, or now Deami Brown's going to break out, of which I'm not going to hold my breath on. No. Those are the guys. So if you're one of those in fill in the blank executive we trust, automatically whatever pill they hand you, you just swallow. Maybe you might be offended by that. So I guess maybe that's who I'm referring to when I say that was my semi hot take. But this is how I would design it. Right. If I'm able to sort of, you know, take the names off it, I'm doing Madden create a player. I would go, I'd have one receiver that's quicker work. Works that 20 yards and in, great hands, tough as nails, does everything asked of him like McLaurin. And then I'd have the deep threat. Right now, ideally, that guy's got some size as a deep threat as well. And that's what Noah Brown is. So history's been filled with a number of players that have had lesser roles in stacked rooms. Right, think Pierre Garçon in Indianapolis, for example. You're the number three with Reggie Wayne and some other studs there, or you know a guy that's a running back in some places that he goes to another venue and gets a better shot, or a guy that's a part time starter goes somewhere else and thrives. History is littered with guys where you come from pretty good places with pretty good rooms. You're capable, but you're just a victim of numbers. You go somewhere else with a larger role and you can thrive. I'm not saying he's a Pro Bowler. I'm not saying he's going to, you know, catch 1,200 yards worth of balls. What I am saying is I think he's going to help a lot.
Totally. A couple other numbers that I just think are interesting, and I'm only using McLaurin as the comparison because he's the guy here that we know is really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
McLaurin last year, after the catch, struggled a little bit.
Yep.
To the point where when we talked to Dan Quinn, we have not talked to Dan Quinn on this show, but when the media talked to Dan Quinn in town, one of the things he said that McLaurin was really working on all offseason going into camp was the ability to make plays after the catch, to extend plays, to break tackles, to do something after he caught the football. Last year, yards after catch per reception for Terry McLaurin, 4.5 on average. Noah Brown, 6.7. Now, that's 2+ yards. It does not sound like a big deal. From an average standpoint, that is massive.
It's a massive deal.
Now, that speaks to the scheme and the offense and probably how wide open he was and how much separation he got, maybe even ball placement from a quarterback, Stroud being better than Howell, obviously. There's a lot of things that go into that. But that's not nothing. I mean, this is a guy that was a rumbling big presence after the catch despite his size. You mentioned 17.2 per reception. McLaurin last year, 12.7. Different offense, not as prolific, but he can take the lid off a little bit. Now, flip side of this, an area where he struggled, I thought, a tad. Last year, McLaurin was graded with 4 drops via PFF in 128 targets in a 79-catch season. 4 drops, 128 targets. On just 54 targets, Noah Brown dropped 5 passes last year. They played together at Ohio State. These two guys, they know each other well. They're both Buckeyes. One was drafted in the 3rd round. It looks like should have been drafted probably in the 1st or 2nd round. In Terry McLaurin's case, probably the 1st round. Noah Brown was a 7th round pick. So I'm not pretending like he's coming in here to be AJ Green or something.
Right.
That's not what he is. But there's some things I really like. So next, let's do this. Over or under on projections for him. Let's set him at 49.5 catches and 499.5 yards. Using his last couple seasons plus the projected role here, we'll come up with basically a 50 catch, 500 yard, standard wide receiver 2 in a not great offense kind of numbers.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.